Welcome to the Two Grumpy Men, C. Grooms and Bobby May, in the building.
What it do? What it do? Y'all already know, man. Y'all know the vibes, man. We here, you know, trying to get it in. We've been missing a little bit, so we got to give y'all what y'all want, man. You know what I'm saying? We got to give you what you want.
Word. We on the check-in.
Yeah, check-in time. Check-in time. Time Word. To check in on some of this craziness that's still that's going on out here. Well, but before we get into all that, you know what I'm saying? To my good brother right here, just dropped the book, The Pushback. You know what I'm saying?
Appreciate that, bro.
Congratulations on that. You know?
Yeah,
you know, you've been working on that for about a year and a half now.
Word,
like
about a year and a half. Took me, you know, to put it together, compile it, and getting the thoughts right. You know, I guess just grammatically, you know, language is kind of strong. You know what I'm saying? I got a couple of chapters in there. You know, I got some four letter words. You know, but it is what it is. Like, you know, shit. You know, at least I'm grumpy and not angry. Shit, if I was angry, that'd have been a whole different vibe. But I got some positive feedback from the people that did read it so far.
I seen some feedback so far online, and so, you know what I mean? But just give the people, just give them a little, don't give away the whole book. You know, go buy it, $4.99, download the e-book, show love, support.
We're on the twogrumpymen.com website, and there's other e-books up there, you know. Get your knowledge and wisdom on, you know.
But that's definitely come out and support my man's new book. But go ahead and give him a little background on what's going on.
You know, Pushback, man. You know, Pushback beyond the 120. So, you know, Pushback in itself is just on some, yo, we tired. You know what I'm saying? When you get to the point where you just tired, as you know, you out here, you trying to do the right thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, people want you to, you know, be a certain way. They're always talking about being a role model, being a good citizen, you know, all of these different things that is placed upon us, and we try to live that out. So when you doing that and you getting a lot of the pushback from the other side, the negative. So you got the negative and you got the positive. So you got to balance it all out. So Pushback is really about, you know, basically my memoir for a specific time in life, you know, and for people that don't know, the first book was Love and Basketball, Memoirs of Life. So that was really like some poetry. You know, let me just get you acclimated to what's going on in my mind. You know, it was nice. It was spiritual. It was a lot of things in that, but
it was
a different type of read. Like, but Pushback is on some, you know what, let me drop some knowledge on the education system. Let me tell you a little bit about politics. Let me tell you about my own experience, you know, as a former black male teacher, you know, especially in the 90s and when the crime bill had just dropped, you know, in 94, when they signed it into law, you know, I was teaching fourth grade. I'll talk about the politics of education, how they say that they want us to teach the kids, you know, the truth. But when you start doing that, it's like the curriculum wants you to do one thing, but then when you start kicking the truth, there's a lot of internal things that go on. You know, the only reason I was able to do that in the school that I was in is because the district superintendent, it was he was like family. You know what I'm saying? Like, he came up under the same umbrella I did. He was basically my great aunt, rest in peace, Mary Pinkett. He was his mentor. So she was a city council speaker. She was there for many years, you know, so she was the lead person on city council, and she basically, you know, mentored him. And he's a little older than me, but he became a superintendent, and he was recruiting black male teachers for schools in his district. And, you know, I grew up in that district, so I went to the office because it's right down the block from where I lived. So I went down there, and I just, you know, my aunt told me, yo, go see Dr. Young, go see him, you know, he might have something for you. So I went down there. You know, I'm not thinking I'm going to get a gig. I'm trying to get something, you know, in the office, you know, let me work on some policy and things like that. So he sits me down. He's like, yo, you ever thought about teaching? I was like, no. I mean, you know, I just, you know, I was like, I kept it on it. Like, nah, I don't know think about teaching. I coach. You know, I played ball. I did social work for a few years. He was like, yeah, so you'd be perfect for this. I'm like, perfect for what? He's like, I got a position for you. All right. So he sends me to the school. It's not that far from me, about a mile away in the district. So I get up in there, you know, I got his blessing. So I'm trying to get up in there, do my thing, teach. So when we get to, like, history and reading and math and all that stuff, you know, I get this class. I get the class of kids that, you know, a lot of them been left back. They severely low in the reading scores, math scores.
This
basically, the forgotten kids.
This would be what they call special ed now.
I guess you would call them special ed now. Yeah, I guess so, because but they didn't call them that. But if you was going to lump a group of kids together that had all of those different quote-unquote deficiencies, then, yeah, that would be that group. So anyway, you know, I got up in there, you know, I had to, you know, be firm. Showed them that, you know, I actually, you know, cared, you know, and showed love to them. Their regular teacher was out because she was out on maternity leave. She left the first week of school. So I came in on the second week of school. So now they got to get used to me. So, you know, I'm laying it down. I'm young. You know what I'm saying? I'm like 24, 25. So, you know, the energy level. That's when we was in, just got the crib in Baltimore. So, you know how we was running around like. I was just living a different life, but there's something about the, you know, going in the classroom with them and, you know, teaching them about the true history. And I was like, yo, I can't lie to these kids. So, you know, Biggie Smalls' album had just dropped, you know what I'm saying? Basically, it wasn't out that long. And, because the Nas came out in 93, Ready to Die was 94. So I'm bringing that up because hip-hop has always been instrumental in reaching and teaching. So, you know, I had a 12-year-old in my class. You know, as crazy as that sounds, he was 12 in the fourth grade. So, you know, he obviously had been left back a few times. So I had to reach him a little differently than some of the other kids. And, you know, he was out on the block and basically like a little runner in the neighborhood. So you know, the album came out. So he asked me straight up. He's like, yo, Mr. G, yo, you heard the Ready to Die album, you know, and I was like, I said, what you know about that? He's like, I know about Ready to Die. I know who Biggie Smalls is. I said, oh, okay. I said, I know him. I said, I could get him to come up in here and talk to y'all, but, you know, y'all kind of bad. I don't know if I'm going to bring that type of influence in here, and y'all already, you know, knuckleheads, because y'all hard-headed. You know what I mean? So, it was ill because, so I had Shorty. I had him go. I say I had a clean version of the album, you know, the one where they take out the curses. Not that he know what the curses are, but I didn't want to give it to him with a full explicit version because I didn't want to hear no bullshit, you know, from the administration. So I gave it to him. I was like, yo, you know what you can do? You're going to critique the album for me, and you're going to write a little paper about what you felt when you heard this album. So, you know, I ain't thinking he going to do it. You know what I'm saying? I ain't thinking I'm going to get my CD back to the end of the year because I didn't care. But, you know, he broke it down for me, told me, you know, all the different stories. And, you know, I realized that this was a street kid. You know what I'm saying? But he wanted to do better. He wanted to read and all of that. So I took to him. So I ain't going to front. Like, for a 12-year-old, like, he really broke down the album and what he got from it. Now, would I advise that for somebody else to do it? No, only if you got a grip on the situation. You know what I'm saying? Because I did edit out some of the songs because I already had heard the whole album. So I put a CD together. I burned one and I gave it to him. Like, hey, these are the songs that you can listen to. And, you know, he brought back his little critique. And, you know, right there, we just instantly connected. So when you got the oldest kid in the class who basically could be like, yo, y'all need to chill, man. Mr. Groom's talking or whatever. All right, cool. I already got my little enforcer in there. You know what I mean? Like, he listening. So if he listening, y'all damn sure going to listen. So, you know, we got into the whole lesson. Taught him history. Taught him how Columbus didn't discover America. All of that. Anyway, long story short, my principal was giving me a lot of shit. You know, because I was, you know, talking about that. I was like, yo, I'm not going to tell these kids that he discovered America. Like, yo, people was here. they brought diseases, they was murdering people, taking their land. Mm-hmm. She was like, how you going to say that? I said, because it's the truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up in this neighborhood. Like, you ain't from here. You from Boston. You know what I'm saying? Like, you upper middle class bougie ideas. You know, I'm from the hood. Like, I'm making it out. I'm trying to teach these kids. You know, but like I said, long story short, pushback is basically, that's at the end, too. You get the, that's called educational McCarthyism. That's where they blackball you and try to defame your character. And for a while, I couldn't get no gig. Like, my name downtown, I had plugs downtown in the main office. He pulled me in the office one day, and he showed me my record. He was like, you know, your principal didn't really want you back, but she had to take you back. And I was like, I don't want to be in that situation. I was like, fuck her then. So he showed me my record. He was like, yeah, look, she gave you an unsatisfactory. The irony is that she got chastised by the district superintendent, not because of he was my fam. It was like, how you gonna give him an unsatisfactory when his kids scored the highest in reading and math in the whole school district? Like, you're foolish.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, he got on her on that. Like, just because you and him bump heads because of, you know, your ideologies, like, yeah, just because I come from urban America and you didn't, or because I got placed here and you didn't hire me, you know, that's not my fault. You know what I'm saying? The district superintendent took over that school and he was placing teachers, obviously for a reason. He had a plan. He wanted black male teachers up in there, and he recruited six of us. And, you know, some of us ended up leaving. One is actually an assemblyman right now in New York, Walter Mosley. You know, and if anybody know him, he was very instrumental in getting Dean Street Park, the name changed to Conrad McCray Park. So we had these type of brothers up in there, so we was reaching the kids. So pushback is like, you tired, man. You know, how many times you going to get beat in the head before you basically defend yourself? And, you know, it's a lot of stuff in there. You know, it's telling people, you know, what they need. You know, you need to vote every 2 years instead of four. Mm-hmm. You know, you really need to be, if you're going to play that game, you need to be active in the process. You know, I'm telling people to get life insurance. You need an investment plan. So it was, you know, but the state of education is where, you know, I kind of like went in on it in the middle. And at the end, I gave my story, like, this is why I even wrote this, really. But it's election time, man. And I just ironic that I guess it was just time to come out now. Like, you don't really know who it's going to reach. You don't know. Just like, we do this show all the time, man. And I look at the statistics and I go, yeah, I don't know nobody in Asia. Not a soul. I don't know nobody out there. I know some people in UK. Like, I know you got fam out there. And I'm like, damn, we in Asia. We in some crazy ass places like I never heard of in the United States. You know, and thank you for listening, because we out here, you know, we just trying to, you know, reach the people. And, you know, I think we doing our job, but I'm glad that we, you know, decided to do this. You know, it just felt like the right time to, you know, to actually get out there. And, you know, we got the merch out there. I did put some of those things in the book, in the back. Like, you know, I got a couple of items. I got two items in there. I think I got two hats, you know, just with the website. Got the Two Grumpy Men website in there. I plugged that. I plugged 10G Publishing website, put that in there. And the other authors that was, you know, part of the company who wrote books. Okay. So it was just like a massive shout out to everybody who was instrumental in, you know, me becoming you know, who I became and who I'm going to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, we doing this show, we push each other all the time. So we gonna grow. You know what I'm saying? But while we're growing, we still grinding. So the grind is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard for, you know, I ain't snapped, you know what I mean? Like, we ain't snapped yet. So we obviously mature enough to handle the trauma that's being thrown at us on a daily basis. So
yeah,
shit is hard. You know, I'm not gonna sit here and say, yeah, that shit don't bother me. Man, that's a fucking lie, man. And if anybody tell you that none of this shit that's going on outside of the election, you know, the emotions that people have, you saying that what we're living under right now has no effect on you? There's only two things that could be going on. You either, one, very, very rich. I mean, rich and wealthy, right? Three. That's mm-hmm. That's three things. You're either rich, wealthy, or you're just a zombie. It's one or the others. You know, if you got your, you know, if you got your coherent mind and you got common sense, what you're witnessing is out of the norm. And it's like what we think is normal or should be normal, people looking at us like we crazy. Mm-hmm. Yo, y'all be talking about that, you know, that real shit. I'm like, yo, what else can we talk about? I don't know what else to talk about. We didn't get on here to down people and, you know, be condescending and treat people like shit. You know, that's not what we on here for. We got a diverse audience, too. We got, you know, just people in their 20s listening. Like, they need some of the jewels. Every time we come on here, we just talking amongst each other. But to reach, you know, reach the masses, we trying to drop jewels that you could take. You know, get a pen and paper and, you know, start writing some of this information down. Like, we telling you what works and what doesn't work. You know, through trial and error, because I done made a whole lot of motherfucking mistakes. Okay? And that's okay. Jeez. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned, though. You know, that's a fact. That I learned from them. It's crazy. I went to the store earlier, and I went, you know, dude saw, I had my little down jacket on. You know, I got the 5% emblem on there. So he stopped me because I was walking into the store. He's like, yo, what's that? What does that mean? I said, this is for 5%ers, you know, Nation of Gods and Herbs. He's like, oh, because you know what? I saw Jay-Z had a pendant like that. I said, yeah, that's a 5%. He's like, all right, yeah, respect. But I was going like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, you see an emblem like the 5% Nation, which is like massive. If you understand how it broke off, you know, the Nation of Islam, you know, is still out here. You know, 5% is still out here, but it's just the fact that how it broke off. Yeah. Like, one was religious. They hard body out here. Like, so when you bump into brothers, you know, it's like, yo, what up, peace, God, you know, but and you might build, you might not, but they know what that is. So when you see somebody who, he didn't look young, so it's like, you never seen this before, but you recognize it because you saw Jay-Z with the pendant on. I was like, wow, okay. And ironically, you know, I can't say that Jay wasn't a 5%er, but he did, his teachings was, Dr. York lived in his neighborhood. I think Dr. York actually lived in his building. So you got to understand, like, there's people that they're getting raw teachings from people who had brilliant minds, but, you know, yeah, Dr. York went astray, but his teachings are his teachings. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, you know, Jay-Z, I don't remember him being, you know, in the 5% Nation. That doesn't mean that he wasn't, because it was a lot of different, I want to say cliques. It was like different
sects.
It was different sects all over the place. And that's how you could navigate from neighborhood to neighborhood if you wasn't a drug dealer or if you wasn't like a stick-up kid, you know, or a ball player. Like, it was, you had to move a certain way. So if you was in that, if you was in the Nation of Islam, you know, nobody really messed with you. If you was 5%er, you was a ball player, and, you know, you get passes. Obviously, the underworld cats, you know, they got a hierarchy in that. But, I mean, that's what, you know, pushback came from there. I got a lot of references in that, you know, to the 5% Nation, you know. So it's a little of everything. But I think it's definitely necessary with the time that we're living in right now. It felt like you kept telling me that for, like, 5-6 months, the masses is ready for that. I'm like, alright, you know what I mean? You know, I was with you. I'm with you.
Yeah,
I was trying to put it together, and, you know, I'm just glad that, like I said, I got some feedback, you know, a couple of, you know, I got some texts, and even online, you know, my man hit me up. He was like, yo, that your fourth grade story was, like, phenomenal. I was like,
yeah, he was like, make it go viral.
Make it go viral. I was like, shit, man, that shit go viral. That shit is real talk. Like, the fight is real, man. You be thinking you trying to do something positive, and your own people be trying to shut you down, man.
I posted that joint today.
Word. Right. That's a fact. It be your that's own fact. People, man. It's like, you know, and I don't want to call it a generational thing, but it kind of is. Like, like, look at the age that we are. The generation that's running this country, they like 70. You know what I'm saying? 75. They the same people 20 years ago that was telling us when we was in our 30s, yo, you got to wait your turn. Yo, just slow down. Your turn is coming. When? That was 25 years ago. Y'all still running the country. Y'all still got people waiting on the second round of stimulus checks. You're saying wait till after the election. All of these people that's making these decisions, it's like 75, 80 years old. They're like, what's good? People out here struggling.
They got their paper.
They getting their paper for life. Like, so I guess my question to people would be, if you go to the polls and you look at the track record of these people that are running the country that have been there decades, why do you keep voting for them? What have they done to deserve to stay in office? Because my man, you know, you know, Jeroy, yeah. You know, he hit me with that question like 2 weeks ago. He's like, yo, what has Trump done to deserve to stay in office? And I was like, I'm with you on that. Like, I wasn't disagreeing, you know, but I was just trying to put the other side out there. Like, yo, he's bad, okay? But coming up the pike, you know, you got old guards. You know what I'm saying? You got Biden. He been in there a minute. Harris been there a minute. You know, shit. Bro, see, speaking on them, speak on her.
She kind of knew, though.
She knew, but...
She knew as far as in Congress and all that type
of how long? 10 years?
I don't know.
You ain't been 10 years yet? I feel like I know her? Because she been in the news for so long for me.
She was in the news for her things in California when she was a district attorney.
No doubt.
And then she was also in the news for that ratchet affair she had.
Oh, yeah, I know about that one. You know what, though, was crazy, though? If you're going to do that, this is the irony of it all. Mm-hmm. We try to teach people, you know, we look down on, you know, sleeping your way to the top and all of this stuff, and we try to stay away from that, those conversations. But when people do it and they get to a certain level, how do you tell somebody not to do that when here is a person who is revered, right? And if you weak-minded, you would think that, yo, that's the role. Well, she did it. I could do it. You know what I mean? You know, it's hard to stop someone.
But is she really revered?
I don't know. I think so.
At the end of the day, I always go back to, she was she was running for president. And she had to drop out because she couldn't, nobody was fucking with her. So.
Yeah, that's weird too.
So, again, like, she's not, I don't look at her as being revered. I look at her as just being someone in the right place right now because of the message that they're trying to implement.
Right.
As far as the Democrats are concerned. So I don't look at her like, now she's revered because...
There's a lot of black women that's definitely behind her, but she also has people who don't mess with her. It's kind of strange, man.
It's 50-50 with her.
50-50, yeah, yeah.
Because it's like half of the people is like, they're with her, but at one point it was probably about 30 when she was running for president. About 30-25% of the people messing with her. I was 75, like, nah, we ain't get out of here. You know what I mean? Blah, blah. Then... when the agenda came, and Biden was like, he wanted to, they put it out there that he wanted a black female as his vice presidential candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Then it became like, oh, okay, you know, she's a better option, and you know, now they love her because the plan is to get rid of Trump.
Right.
At all costs. So, you know, everybody's on that boat. So when they on that boat, it's like, yo, we got to get rid of her. We got to get rid of him. So we don't care what she said in her or what she done or anything. Neither one of their past matters because they're like, well, compared to this guy who's here now, they look great. Do they really?
Right.
Do they really? Do they really look great? Like, G asks you, what has Trump done to deserve to stay? What has Biden done to deserve to be there?
I don't think he has to do. That's the thing. I don't think he has to do anything to deserve to get in because everybody is so adamant that Trump needs to be out. You know. So when you put that mixed in with the history of a Biden who you know has been in politics like my whole life. I mean, he's 48 years is a long time. You know.
Yeah.
I'm 51. Like he's been in politics since he was. I mean, damn, I was like three. I do remember, like, some of his old, you know, not speeches, but he's made statements in the media, you know, in reference to the black population. Now, granted, you know, when you get older, you start looking back on your life, you say, damn, I fucked up. But you can't reverse the damage, you know, that was inflicted on the people. And now I'm kind of, I've been reading different
things. Is
he really sorry? I don't know. I don't know if
he's, I
can't say
that. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're politicians. Politicians lie. They all lie. So are you really sorry? Like, are you really sorry? Like, that's the thing. Like, you know, I don't buy that you're sorry. I buy that you're trying to act like you're sorry because they're bringing it up. If they didn't bring these things up, you wouldn't even talk about what, you know, sorry is when you talk, sorry is more to me when a person know they did wrong and they immediately address the issue and show that they're sorry for their actions.
So when did he become sorry? A year ago? Because that's what
I
remember.
No, he became sorry a couple months ago.
You're right. That wasn't even a full year ago.
He became sorry a couple months ago once he got the nomination, and once again, he was blowing all that shit off. Like for months, when pressed on the question of reparations, he blew those questions off. Right?
Absolutely.
He got boxed in the corner, so now he came, his people behind him came up with a plan to lift all voices. We spoke about this the last time.
Lift every voice and sing.
Yeah, lift every voice. And, you know, trying to show that he has empathy, and now he's sorry for the bill, and he was like, he tried to make changes in the bill, and da da da, and all this other blah 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 shit.
When?
I mean,
been in politics forever. He was vice president for 8 years.
The thing about it, that's what we was talking about the last time. It's easy to say, well, because when he was talking, he was saying how he was trying to pass other amendments to it to make it like so less hard, and he was voting no to things. But you were voting no, but you already knew that it was going to pass regardless. So your no was just a show to say that, hey, look, I voted no. It wasn't like you really was voting to stop it because you had a chance to stop it. There was nothing to stop. So you just voted no because it looked good on your record.
Right, right.
When they look up how you voted on these bills and all these certain things, they, you know, so you can't take back the shit that you said back when you was messing with George Wallace from Alabama. You can't take back the things you said when you was with Strom and the bills y'all done and the things y'all said. You can't take those things back. You said it, bruh. You said it. You said a Democrat Dixie or whatever the hell they call them.
Dixie Democrat, yeah.
Yeah, some shit. Come on, man. Like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, that's my whole issue with this whole thing. It's like, you know, black people do the same thing all the time. Like, they always allow themselves to be appeased because they feel like they can get a better situation with this person. When this person is no better than the person that's already there, you know, he's not going to blatantly come out and say the shit Trump says. No, he's not going to do that. He's a professional politician. Trump is not a politician. Trump is a businessman. So he don't give a shit what he says and how it looks. And he's a reality mother, TV nigga. So he don't give a fuck about none of that shit. It's all for ratings and shit like that for him. You know, he's the type of, oh, I had the most people watching me. Oh, I had the most people, you know, that's the thing, because that's what he is about. He's not a politician. Whereas this guy's a politician, and he's a professional liar. So I'm going to have a problem with you. I'm not going to be like, oh, shit, yeah, I want to get rid of this person so bad that I'm just going to throw you my shit without demanding nothing from you, neither. Like, we're not demanding anything from you. You're just telling us, don't you want to get rid of this guy? You better vote for me.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So what has he promised? What has he garnered to get our votes? What has he done to be president? Nothing. He's done nothing. He hasn't done anything to say he deserves to be president. Say, oh, I was in the White House for 8 years before that with Obama. Okay.
And Obama passed what? He dropped the crack law down from 100 to 1 to 18 to 1.
Well, it's a sad day if you felt like dropping the crack laws was so beneficial to us. Like, we're the only people that were selling crack.
Right.
Like, black people were the only people that were selling crack.
Like, I'm talking about, because we got disproportionately locked up for under those bills. You know, people are thinking about, oh, you committing crimes. Like, no, you got to think about this. Here's a felony. Here's one felony. You get caught with a certain amount of crack, and you go to jail. All right? That's your first felony. Okay, and let's say you get out, and you get caught again, because you know some people are drug addicts. You get caught again, that is two strikes, and all you're really doing is using. So anything after that, when the third strike come up, it's a wrap for you. You know what I mean? So people was getting caught up under that. It's not that it was career criminals running around. Like, people want to twist and distort shit to fit their own narrative to say, oh, we need to just get Trump out. You know, and I read this article back in June where Biden was saying his number one legislative priority was the LGBTQ. So that was before all of the before George Floyd and all of that really blew up. You know what I'm saying?
But wasn't that Obama's priority too?
Right. And Obama did that already. So, I mean, I know it's a work in progress. Don't get me wrong.
Like, I understand it. But again, everybody attaches their shit to the Negro struggle. Yeah, there's black gay people, and of course that whatever benefits that's come for the Negro is going to benefit them too, because they're Negro. You know what I'm saying? So once again, though, you're not saying, yo, this. Yeah, you keep talking about, we know that there's an economic wealth gap and this, that, and that. Once again, what are you guaranteeing that, though? What are you guaranteeing us for our vote? Like, you know, when Obama came in, he bailed out the banks.
Top priority.
When the auto industry.
Mm-hmm.
And when Bush was in there, he was making sure his oil buddies ate, and they all ate good. They went to war for the oil.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then you have when Clinton was in there, big businesses was eating good.
Prison industry.
But also big corporations were getting.
Oh, no
back,
doubt.
Back in the 90s, you could get a job with AT&T making $20 to $25 an hour. Easy.
Without a degree.
Without a degree or nothing. Like, you know, but at the same time, he also signed bill to get jobs shipped overseas so these big companies can avoid paying taxes here.
Right. Word.
So he took care of his people, right? So now, that's the thing that here goes again with black people. They constantly always think just because you have a complexion that you one of us. That's not the truth.
Negative.
That's a negative. And so you saying he not black? What is he then? I'm like, son, I'm not saying he definitely
he's a politician,
but he's a politician too. At the end of the day, he's you know what I'm saying? He's gonna tell you he has a white mother, and he has a black father.
Well, remember, Kenyan.
Kenyan. So basically he's really African American. You know,
right, he's African American, okay? Because
you know what
he's really African American. Okay,
he's really African American because he's right. Kenyan American. He's
exactly.
Kenyan,
exactly.
Right? So
exactly
because his dad is right. His mom's later on gets. I think she married somebody else.
Yeah,
And he's rich or whatever the case may be. Some shit like that.
Yeah, he was buddies with the Bushes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on.
Was also alleged that he was a CIA operative too.
Yeah, for Bush. Fuck with Bush. That's
yeah.
how he knew Bush.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, and let's not forget that Bush and Obama are actually cousins.
Well,
cousins. Like,
are they? Because I read
I
read that they were more like. Because of the closeness of the stepdad and senior Bush, they were more like, you know how play cousins be in the hood.
Nah, it's
way
deeper than that.
Where did the bloodline come in at?
No, the bloodline is
because they were like they used to vacation and shit together. He was a little kid and shit like that.
No doubt, but the bloodline is from his mother. See, his mother, great 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 grandfather, is. And Bush's great 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 grandfather, they all come from the same bloodline. They all lead back to King John Lackland. Like they have actual blood. They are like his mother and the Bushes. Like they're actually related. So that's your mother. You're a cousin. Like you share the blood. You know, it's your mom. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not saying that's not, but from my understanding, what I heard and what I read, that wasn't how it came off. But
what you said is even more factual than forget the. Let's say you didn't know about the bloodline. Just understand that they was raised. He was raised around politicians. He was one of the little kids running around in the barbecues, in the get-togethers, in the family, you know, gatherings. Like he was there. So when you take that, when you're already associated, and then your mother, that's their cousin. You know what I mean? Like your family anyway by blood. So this shit is deep. You know.
That's what I said. So once again, here we are again. So now we have Kamala Harris, right? So now everybody, oh yeah, she black because she went to Howard. That don't make you black because you went to Howard, fam. Like, you understand? Like, there's Indian, Hindu, and all of them that's just as dark as black people. Okay? Like, I had Jamaicans be like, well, her dad's Jamaican. He black. From my understanding, he said he's not black.
Well, he's from India, and he migrated to Jamaica.
Exactly.
Via his father. So
exactly.
So his father's from India, and they came to Jamaica, and then he was born. So he's Jamaican,
but he's not
via India.
But what I'm saying is that he's Indian Jamaican.
Yeah, he's Indian Jamaican.
He's good, like, you know what I mean?
Okay.
They
yeah,
would call
his
him,
father
Jamaica,
is
call,
from India.
They would call him Cooley. You know
what
I'm
saying? He's a coolie. Thank you.
But he's basically, his father is from India.
Yes.
So, again, you know, and her pops, to my understanding, he don't even talk to her. I don't even know if they deal with each other. Because, you know what I'm saying? She couldn't even, I don't even think she could tell you the last time. I don't even think she's never even talked
about
it.
She was raised by her mother.
In Canada.
Right.
And that's how she was able to go to Howard because there was a scholarship, and she got a scholarship there.
Because she's a minority.
Yeah, but she took her basically because of her skin, because she passes black, so she can get in. She can get the scholarship.
Oh, her early years was in Cali though, so she was raised in Cali too. I forgot about that part. Yeah,
she was, but like she said at one point, she was from Oakland, but she ain't from Oakland.
She's not from Oakland, but I forgot the county that it. Well, Oakland
she's
is in that
close,
county.
Yeah, she in there, the county, but she was more, from my understanding, it was like San Francisco or some shit like that, whatever. Because it's
yeah,
right
I
next
mean,
to each other.
It's right next to each other.
Right
yeah,
next
can,
to each other.
So, okay, we could give her that. You from the Bay Area. She was
but
raised
you can't
in the
take
Bay.
Away. You can't take away the fact that your birth certificate say that you Caucasian.
True. I mean, but that's her mama's doing. You know what I mean? Like, but like you said, you said you could amend your birth certificate at any point. You can.
And you haven't. Now she has, though. Now it says something different. It's like, what, Indian American or some shit?
Well, that's because that's what she is. Because even when she got into the Senate, she was the first Indian American.
So that's
senator.
What I'm saying, though. If you're not black, you're not Negro. You're not of the Negroid race. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, right. I mean, but that don't matter because because this is what it don't matter to people because what you just said. All right. She was raised in Cali. She went to Howard. She's an AKA. None of that matters, right? So if that's the theme, right? The theme of blackness is because you don't get no more blacker than like Howard.
Yeah,
like how are you? Which is named after a white man. But
exactly.
but we could get it. We ain't gonna
that's
get
a whole
into
other
that.
Story.
That's a whole other story. But it's still an HBCU, and you know the majority of them, you know, were built for that purpose for us going to school. Like I get that part. But if that's the theme, she's an AKA, you know, which is there's mostly like black women AKAs. Like it's just a fact. That's not that they don't have any white ones. They do, but they're mostly black. So if you went to Howard, that's another check that you could mark off.
Yeah.
But then, so if you're gonna go all of the blackness, right? So then when I come from the other side, like, well, hey, she has a Caucasian husband, so let's balance out the blackness here, okay? And then let's look at her record. You know, so we looked at her record. People said, well, then she did her job. You know, I said, well, hold up. Disproportionate stats. You know, yeah, it's just data right now until you start putting it together. And you're saying, yo, disproportionate of the people locked up were black males. And a lot of them were weed charges. And on top of that, when you look at prosecutorial misconduct, basically, when you withhold evidence that could free a person, okay, who was innocently imprisoned and who didn't belong there, and now they can be free, but you held them there longer, or you're blocking payments for a person who was supposed to receive compensation from being basically illegally detained and put in prison, or when you withhold evidence that could actually convict some pedophiles who had victims that were speaking out against them. So you could let all of that shit ride because you mad that the people who got duped by the Electoral College, because I can't, you could see that they obviously the popular vote went to Hillary, but the Electoral College didn't give a shit. You know, now that the Supreme Court had to step in and say 31 states have to follow the voice of the people, else they're going to face sanctions. Yes, we have 50. How many states do we have? 50.
52
states, right? Yeah. So 31 of them must comply. So what does that say about the other 21? What does that say?
They can still do whatever
they
want.
They can do whatever the fuck they want. Now, which states are they? I saw the list. I wasn't going to post that. I didn't even post what the states were, because that's where we really need to be focusing, on those states.
But again, it's like people, all the misinformation, like people, these millions of people didn't vote here, and millions of people didn't vote here. She still won the popular vote.
Right.
So
it ain't on the people.
It don't matter. You mad at the wrong people again. You mad at the wrong people.
This ties into the people that you put in office every 2 years, your electors, your senators and the congressmen. That's who the issue is with, not with the people who you say didn't vote it, who actually did, and then if you're going to go that far, you say, hey, well, 65% of the people in the country voted. Okay. Yeah, they did. But with that being said, even the people that didn't vote didn't affect the popular vote. Like Hillary should have won. The Electoral College said no. So when you look at all of that, it's like, all right, well, damn, they let Trump get in because they couldn't understand how Obama got in. So we went from one extreme to the next. Because, domestic policy, Obama tried to do a lot, and he did a lot. But we talking legislation right now. Like, there was no legislation specifically for black people. The one initiative that I did see was with the young black boys. But that was an initiative. That wasn't a legislative action. So but I give him credit for doing that, his for his domestic policy. But anything specifically, and he's not the only president, so I don't use that against him, because nobody has really done anything specifically for black people. But, you know, and I say black now, I guess I'm talking the legalities of it. Because from my understanding, Obama, his background in law, because, you know, he is a lawyer, as it was in constitutional law, if I'm not mistaken. But it's not like, so he knows the legalities of, well, you can't really be a black person. You know what I mean? Because that's dead in law. Like, he understands that. That's why when he ran, he didn't run as a black candidate. He was smart. I'm not a black candidate. I am Kenyan American. And it makes sense. I am an American citizen, but I'm from Kenya. So it's all good. Like, but to say that, you know, the all of the I guess I want to call it visceral. Like, there's so much anger towards Trump, and I, yo, he's done dumb shit. Like, don't get me wrong, he has. But you talking about 4 more years of that versus what we don't really know is coming up the pipe. One thing I do know, because this is a fact, yeah, you have the Lift Every Voice and Sing program. Oh, sorry, I said program. agenda that you have. I mean, that's fine. I read it, and, you know, it sounds good. And I did see Kamala Harris's initiative for Indian Americans, not American Indians, people. I'm talking about Indian Americans. There is a difference. She is an Indian American. So she did something specifically. She wants to do something specifically for her people where she came from, which is nothing wrong with that. So the reverse side is, well, I'm not going to do anything that's specifically for black people. You know, anything that's for everybody will benefit black people, but I'm not going to do something specific for black people, but you do something specific for Indian Americans. So it's kind of like, yo, the tap dance is real. Like, her, she's nice
tap
with it.
The tap dance is real, and that's what I'm saying, Blade, about the people. Like, our people, they fall for the shit all the time. They fall for. They put them in this. Oh, you gotta do it right now. This is the biggest thing ever. If not, this is. And they scare you. Scare tactics all the time. And black people fall for this shit all the time. Never, you know, you have all of them. They'll give you 100 reasons why you should do, why you gotta do this and why you gotta do that and why you got, son. What has changed for us? Like, what big dent has changed for us? Like, nobody's haven't done anything for our people. You know what I'm saying? When the crack epidemic was hitting, they wasn't out there saying, yo, let's, you know, get these people in
drug rehab.
Rehab and shit like that.
Counseling.
Now you got opioids. They putting down them. They got all kind of things trying to help save little Billy, save little Sally. But when it was fucking, when it was motherfucking in
Malcolm,
hood,
Raekwon,
and all them motherfuckers,
Justin,
they was signing crime bills. And what they use against you and tell you, you asked for it. You said you wanted this to stop. So we got a bill for you because you played right into their hands. Crime is so bad. You know, y'all want this bill? Then go sign up. You put me in office, and we'll get this bill signed, and we'll start locking all these criminals up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So pretty much, that's what they turn around and they push that on you. Hey, you asked for it. You asked us to do it.
You know the crazy shit though? It, like, they, basically, Biden and Bernie Sanders, who co-sponsored the bill, they was just following up on Nixon. What he implemented when he had his war on the poor, basically, because he had a similar type of bill, you know, crime bill, and basically they targeted African American communities. Like, that's what they did.
Nixon was there when the Black Panthers was pushing.
Yeah, when J. Edgar Hoover was like, well, there will never be another Black Messiah. Like, they're not having it.
So
what does that tell you?
So, but think about it. This is 74, right?
Word.
This was 74 when Biden was working on this bill. The same time, I think Nixon may have just got booted for the Watergate shit somewhere around before, maybe a little bit before that. I was
a little bit after that, because Nixon got booted right before that.
So, and he was working on that bill with Strom. And they all they did was in 94 tone it down a little bit because
they toned it down. This is what I'm trying to say. So he was down from the very beginning. We're talking about when Nixon was throwing it in, like, yo, we locking up, we going in the hood, we locking up all the drug addicts. Now, which is the irony is this. This is when the drugs was actually being dropped, you know, front via the CIA, the whole operation. It got dropped in the community, and you're going to lock up the drug addicts. And then at the same time, you got Operation Mockingbird going on, which is with the media. They got, you know, CIA operatives working in the media. They telling people misinformation. They also feed in stories, you know, what you can and cannot say, similar to the media today. I mean, it's all controlled by seven corporations. And, you know, it bugs me out that people would think that there are not operatives in every level of corporation business. Like, that doesn't make sense for you
doesn't
to think that, especially talking about TV. Remember, MK Ultra, that program was out in the 50s when they started introducing televisions into the mainstream. MK Ultra is a straight-up brainwashing program. So that's what it ultimately ends up being. And we can see the remnants of that today. You know, come on, how many times you listen to an album or watch a TV show, you could quote things from a movie, you could recite a whole album or a whole song. Like, that's programming. And there's negative programming and there's positive programming. But MK Ultra was obviously used for negative, to create robots and to create people who were going to be okay with basically being a robot. And you mix that with drugs?
Basically people who don't want to think for themselves.
They don't want to think for themselves, and you got the drugs.
They got something for you. They're going to think for you. You know? They're going to think for you. You know what I mean? You got all these politicians. That's the thing. Like, you know, the problem is black people don't keep forgetting the history. And once you, what does it say? When you don't remember, when you don't learn your history, it always repeats. You're getting conned. A con is being run on us every time. It's a straight con. Because now you believe that, oh, we've been voting Democrat for years. Democrats were originally slave owners.
Word.
From the South. Those were the same people. All they did was seeing that, oh, you know what? We found they found another hustle. Oh, we got another way. We gonna kill them with social service. We give you all the free shit. Take the man out. Take the black man out the household. Give you money. Da 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 da. Keep you hooked on to us because we giving out the money. Whereas the Republicans, they make them, you know, they are strictly business. You know, we about basically every man, their principles is more to the standards of pull yourself up by a bootstrap, form a business, you know, learn the game, learn the tax game, and how to get your money. Yep. Democrats is like, we're going to fund new programs. All they did, like, for instance, if you think about it, didn't they just steal the Black Panther shit? Food programs in the hood.
Yeah.
Summer job.
They basically did that because that was part of the points program. You know,
exactly.
The Black Panthers had that. Basically, welfare came from the Black Panthers program.
So all they did was, you know.
And they gave it to Caucasians.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you can't keep saying that, oh, well, I'm a fucker. You know, the dumb saying that people, well, I'm going to go with this evil because I know this evil. Or I'm voting for the lesser of two evils. Man, evil is evil.
Thank you.
Evil is evil. No matter how you slice that shit, it's still evil. You can't go for a lesser evil because it's still evil. That means they're still going to do something evil to you. Like, listen to what you're fucking saying. Listen to the dumb shit you're saying before you start chastising other people for just thinking for themselves and trying to make a educated decision for themselves. Like, we all ain't going to be on the same shit together.
Right.
That's fine. But you can't be out here trying to shame and browbeat motherfuckers to do what you want them to do. And if they don't do what you want to do, oh, you the reason. You can't say nothing because you ain't vote. Or you can't say nothing because you ain't participating. The fuck you mean I can't say nothing? I can say whatever the fuck I want to say. Fuck you mean?
And you talking to a voter. It ain't like you didn't vote. Even if you didn't vote, but you did. So it's like, and so because I ain't vote how you voted.
Well, exactly.
You got a problem with me? Like, that's so stupid, man.
That's the dumbest shit I ever heard. I'm like, you motherfuckers is so stupid. Like, you know, you motherfuckers are still running around chastising Ice Cube. For what?
Word.
Like, how are you chastising a motherfucker who's trying to do something? Trying to do something.
Actually,
to better our situation. But just, you mad at him. Everybody coming out the woodwork and ain't done shit. Ain't never done shit for the people. Ain't never even tried to do shit for the people. But when the next motherfucker trying to do something for the people, everybody lining the fuck up, taking shots at you. That's what the statement is about. That's why I posted this shit. Because you trying to do shit for your people, but yet with your right hand, but with your left hand, you got to fend off your own motherfucking people. So, like, what the fuck, bruh? Like, that's what it's just the dumbest shit. It's the dumbest shit, bro. I can't even put it in other words. It's just a dumb shit. Like, these motherfuckers is just dumb. Like, come on, man. Stop trying to fucking force people to do what you want them to do. And if that shit ain't worked in 400 years, motherfucker, that shit ain't going to work this year. You know what I'm saying? That shit ain't going to work. What change going to come? I want to know what change going to come. What change is going to come? Can you tell me that, son?
I don't know, man. I mean,
what change is going to come? Are the police
talking about short-term
changes? Are the police going to stop shooting motherfuckers in the street? Because the president can't, obviously, he going to tell you he can't stop that.
Right, because he's
state.
Federal.
It's the president's federal. So that's state shit. So what is it going to, you know what I mean? So now when it comes, are you voting for your governor? That's what you need. Are you voting for that, motherfucker? That's who can change your shit. Are you voting for the county members? Those are the motherfuckers that perfect your life. That motherfucker sitting up on the top of the corporation as the president of the corporation can't do shit. Can't do shit. He ain't going to do shit. They not going to do shit for you. What they talking about? They going, they got their little plan. It's a plan. It's not something they saying, yo, they not guaranteeing it's even going to be implemented. It's just a plan they put on paper. There's some bullshit. More bullshit.
Yep.
They ain't got it in the plan. You know what I'm saying? Better education for us. You know what I'm saying? You want to help our people? Talk about getting rid of these motherfucking student loans that over 80% of us got for these schools that ain't really done shit for most of them, for the people with degrees. Word. They took the fucking money and paid, used loans, and took out all kind of shit and can't get nothing. They ain't got no fucking job right now. You went to school for shit and ain't got no fucking job in it. Can't get no fucking job. They keep hustling you. Come back. Come get your master's. Come get this. Come get that.
Come
ain't
be a
no
doctor.
Every time you get the higher you get, they push you back further. Now your bachelor degree is like a fucking high school diploma. Your high school diploma is like worse than a GED.
Oh, and then the flip side is this. When you do have all of that, then you're overqualified.
Exactly.
To get certain jobs. So
now we can't hire you. Yeah. You need a job, but you too overqualified. You can't.
Why you want to work here?
Yeah, you're not going to stay.
Because I need a job.
You're not going to stay. You have a master's degree. Why would you want to work here? Why? Yeah. Motherfucker, obviously I need a job. Motherfucker, you hiring. Like, the fuck is that? Like, what kind of shit is that? So that's what I'm saying. So instead, you turn pushing school shit, you need to be pushing entrepreneurial shit and letting the people say, look, man, if y'all want to help yourselves, your people want to help yourselves, we need your own people to open up their own jobs in your own community and start hiring your own people.
Right.
But no, instead they pushing more Asians, more Jews, more Indians in our communities, and Arabs and all that shit in our community. They get the opportunity to open up stores and live off our money. And
yep.
Our money don't circulate amongst our own. It circulates to them, and they keep their shit and don't give nothing back to where they getting their money from. They sending their money back to wherever the fuck they come from.
Yep. Yep.
So, again, black people, we don't have no fucking plan. So when somebody else has a plan, if you don't, even if you don't agree with that man's plan or you find faults in some of his plan, then if you... It wouldn't be just best to say, you call that person and say, bro, we need to holler at you. You know, we need to all have a sit down and let's revise the plan. Let's even talk further. Let's add more shit to it because our people need a lot. We don't just need that. We need more. You know what I'm saying? We need more of this shit. We need more. Just, he already gave.
Isn't that what Cedric Richmond said to him? He said that Ice Cube. He told them that he told Ice Cube that he needed to flush out his plan, like you know, to give more details. And this is what he said that he told Ice Cube, and they didn't never tell him that wait till after the election. They told him to call us anytime. Here's our phone number. You need to flesh out your plan, which basically means provide more detail because you know. When you look at the plans that's online, you know, they tell you exactly what they're going to do and where the money is going to go to. And, you know, when you read Q's plan, it was talking about, well, this is what needs to be done, but it's not giving you the instructions on how to do it. Now, he don't need to do that with the politician who's in office who knows exactly what to do. So why should he have to tell you what to do when you know how to do it? He's giving exactly. You like, yo, this is what we
That's
need.
That's why I said, really? Like, this is what you going to do? You going to say that? Like, that's some bullshit.
Because so, they got to take it. See, so what I get, so if I give you something and I take it to you and you go, I need to explain this and or put it on the floor so I need to be able to break it down for these people, because you know your colleagues, like I gotta sell this to them. So give me more. So then when you give them more, they'll run with your shit, and it won't. You gave them the foundation because what you need is a foundation.
Yeah,
if you got a strong.
It's like
foundation,
an outline. Of what our issues are. This is an outline of what. And motherfucker, you know what the issues are.
You already
are.
Know what the issues are. We telling
y'all
you
all know
what
the
you
fucking
need
issues
to
are.
Do.
You all know. What the issues are.
You want my vote.
I don't got to write you a motherfucking a thesis for you to fucking understand what the fuck our issues are in this country. Cut the shit. Like, that's what I'm talking about when you dealing with the Democrats. You full of shit. I don't got to write more. You know what the shit is. Fuck more you want me to tell you so you can sign. You take my shit and sign your name to it. Act like you pushed it. The fuck out of here.
Pretty much. That's what's going to happen.
Here's the fucking outline, motherfucker. You know what it is. You know what it is. You know what our problems are. You know what's going on in this fucking country. Like, that's the shit I'm talking about. And this is why I have a problem with the Democrats. This is why I have a problem with them. It's all smoke and mirrors with them. They full of shit. It's all bullshit. It's all a bunch of bullshit with them. The black Democrats are full of shit. They full of shit. They in there, they sing you a bunch of bullshit and never deliver on nothing. They don't deliver on shit. Black caucus, what have you done? Why wasn't the black caucus should have been the first motherfuckers been like, yo, we want to see your plan and we need to sit down with you and see how we can make this a more solid plan for this young, for you, brother, so we can help our own people's situation. Did they do that?
Absolutely not.
So, once again, don't talk about using black caucus like you motherfuckers is for the people out here. You motherfuckers are sitting there lining your pockets on our demise. Bottom line, you don't give a fuck. Don't tell me you give a fuck about the people. You motherfuckers don't give a fuck about the people. The government has already shown they don't give a fuck about the people. They only gave motherfuckers $1,200 And states are still fucking closed. They're still closed.
Yeah, many
states are still closed.
Many states.
And how are they? For how are these people making ends every day? They're not. You're strangling the life out of people. You done took their businesses. They're losing their homes. They're losing every fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you ain't, all you gave them was $1,200, and you motherfuckers talking about, well, hold up on to the left. You can't sit here and tell me that people, why are you people so, instead of the people being so outraged and so mad, you motherfuckers are lining up talking about bombarding the people with, like, every day you get about 60 pieces of mail telling you to go vote.
Right.
And right. You motherfuckers go vote, and you motherfuckers ain't done nothing for the people. But trying to tell us to wear masks every fucking day. Wear masks. Oh, COVID's on the rise again. Scare tactic shit. Like, mm-hmm. Come on, motherfucker. Oh, we're going to have a vaccine by this day. Motherfucker, what kind of sense does that even make to tell people you're going to have a fucking vaccine when motherfucking scientists have already said it take damn near at least 5, 6, 7, close to 10 years.
Yeah, five to 7 years.
For a vaccine,
and depending on the complexity of the virus that's out there, it might take 10.
Exactly. People just are not listening. They only want to hear what the fuck they want to hear.
You can't take a vaccine that got put on the market in less than a year. Like now, at the minimum, you're supposed to have 3 years.
First of all, a logic scientist is going to tell you, you can't put out something in the middle of a pandemic because you don't know all the ramifications of this shit yet.
A couple of people died, actually, during the trials.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to tell you, motherfucker. You motherfuckers are sitting out here running around doing the dumb shit.
Wait, didn't some HBCU presidents say that they would ask their
kids,
students?
Yeah.
How stupid are you?
That's what I'm. This is the stupidity of our people. You willing to use people, kids as guinea pigs? You gonna tell them that you're gonna probably get them some money to take the trial because you know college kids is broke, and some of them gonna line up because they need the money.
Right.
Come
sad.
On, son.
That's sad, man.
This is what we and this is and there's no outrage about this. The people aren't outraged. They all focused on let's get Trump booted. Yo, there's other shit going on, bro. You got to keep your eye on every fucking thing out here right now.
Why don't you get the other people, the Congress and the Senate that you voted in that didn't do shit? Get them out, too.
Exactly.
Because we spoke on that earlier. Like, I have nothing against older people, okay? I really don't. But when you've been in Congress and Senate 40, 50, 60 years, yo, it's time to go. It's time to get some new blood in there. You know what I mean? Like, yo, we got to tear it down. You need to start fresh. Like, I mean, damn. I mean, I'm not saying you need to go to the extreme and get some 25-year-olds, but maybe you do. You need a balance. So you need that. You need the young. You need some middle. But you got mostly older people, like 65, 70. Like, yo, what is we doing? And, then, you know, people are looking at us like, yo, what other countries are giving out money to their citizens to stay home? This country, we give out $1,200. One time.
There's
countries that's getting $3,000 a month. They're giving it out to their people and they guaranteed it to the end of the year.
To the end of the year, fam.
From when they started, in April.
And here you are, and you're supposed to be the greatest country. That's how it, right? You promote that this is the greatest place because of democracy and all that shit. And this is what you gave your people. You basically gave your people your ass to kiss and told them, stay your ass home. I'm going to fuck you broke, whatever the fuck you, fuck you.
I'm not a mathematician, fam, but I do know that 1,200 divided by 7 months is about $100 and something a month.
If that.
Am I off? You look like 1.5? You talking about $150 a month?
Son, you
for 7 months?
7 months. If you do 7 months, what's that?
$1,200 divided by 7.
So say 7 months and you average it 30 days and 7 months, that's 221 days or some shit like that. Divided into 1,200.
Okay, let me see, because I got a calculator. Let me see, 1,200 divided by 7. That is $171 a month. Okay, so every 2 weeks, that is $85 every
That's 5.71 per day.
Per day. $5.71 per day is what you've gotten for the last 7 months.
Per day.
$5.75 per day.
Motherfucker, this is not...
Wow.
Well, this is not World War II time when shit was... A loaf of bread was 2 cents.
Fam, if we was in 1820, we would have been straight with $5 a day, okay?
This is 2020.
2020.
And a loaf of bread is about damn near $3. Milk is damn near $3, $4. Eggs is fucking $2, $3.
So... 85. So your budget is $85 biweekly. What the fuck am I supposed to buy with that?
You cut the rest of the people off. You cut the 600 or whatever the extra.
Oh, the extra 600. Yeah, they cut that off.
Cut that off.
Yeah.
So
that's going to be dropped down to what?
Once again, you motherfuckers ain't mad at that though. You motherfuckers ain't mad. Like, you ain't mad at that shit. Y'all ain't mad at these people for that shit. You ain't mad at that. You ain't mad.
And they went on vacation, so they had their emergency meetings. They came back, and you know they. But we been said this from when they gave out the first one. You're not going to get another one till after the election. I was like right around election time. I was figuring, you know, Trump was ready to sign it before the election because you know he wanted to put his name on it. Look what I did for y'all. You know, I took care of the people. That's all he wanted to say. And, you know, but I read both bills. You know, I read it when the original one, the CARES Act, and I read this one. And there was some fundamental differences. It's not the big dollar difference. It's just that the companies, the corporations, was having no liability. You know what I mean? Like, for getting rid of you. You know, you could lose your job. You were furloughed, but you ain't getting your job back. You know what I mean? Like, it was stuff like that. Like, they had too many protections for corporations and not for the people. But that's what we live under. But nobody cared about that. Give us the unemployment, right? That so people was willing to go, all right, well, it was extra 600. Now they was talking the extra 400. It was some states, like in Kentucky, that jackass, he's like, oh, we don't need it. Man, your state is one of the poorest in the nation. And the most uneducated.
But they steadily vote his ass every year.
But here we go, damn near 80-something-year-old man whose hand is turning blue because, you know, he got health issues. Y'all keep voting this dude in. And he's the majority leader. So if you don't know what this country is by now, you don't want to know. So if you think it's about the president, you're already lost in your brain. About the Senate and the Congress. You got to fix that first. The president is just the president. Like, they at the top. The president's main job, basically, is foreign policy. You know, because they don't really focus on domestic like that. They'll sign some stuff into law. They're supposed to, you would think that, you know, you're supposed to look out for your people. But, you know, you do have to work abroad. I get all of that because we all over the damn place. United States is everywhere. And in places that they shouldn't be. But then when you start looking at the history of this nation, you will understand why we are everywhere, you know, because we go and we take shit. That's what we do.
Capitalize. No,
that's what we do.
Taking shit.
So, exactly. I mean, I don't know. I guess we said what we could say. You know, we try to educate people, but I think when you look at everything that has happened over the past, you know, 30, 40 years, I mean, just that's a small window. But when you look at it, you'll go, hey, you know, not much has changed. Really, like the last 50, 60 years.
I mean,
since the Voting Act went in. I mean, the 65, we just got the opportunity
to
vote.
Think about it, son. Think about it. 1960 to now, that's about 40 years.
That's about 50.
50 years?
Almost 60 years. From 65 years to now, it's 55 years, basically.
So 65 years or so ago, You wasn't even, they were still telling you to go around the back.
They were, hold on, some places still got poor doors, okay?
You know what I'm saying?
They do.
They do.
high-rise buildings up in the city got separate entrances. This is 2020.
Come on, fam.
Okay, where people was actually getting security called on them because they was working out in their building. You know, they're on the inside now, you know, but they live there. People are like, well, what are you doing here? Call the security on a damn tenant. And, it, you know, come to find out the person actually lives there. Yeah, just use separate entrances. But the facility is theirs, too, because they live there. You know, and it's sad because you got people who are walking around, you know, in a daze. You know, they're not thinking that, oh, this ain't real. This is not happening. Oh, it's happening, all right. And it was planned. It been planned. You know, we out here, we've been lied to on so many levels. It's unbelievable, man. And the more that you keep reading and getting the knowledge and start seeing things for what it is, you're going to get angry. And then those who aren't savvy enough to understand what it is that's going on, you know, it'll just keep happening. And you can't explain something to somebody whose mind is just that closed. Because if your main focus is, all right, so let's say we get Trump out of office. Okay, fine. Let's say he gets out of office. The reason that they want him out of office up there in down there in D.C. is because he don't give a fuck. He's not a politician. Nah. He's not down with the crew. He is reckless and irresponsible, and he don't care. See, them, they act like they care, and they do backhanded shit. And they, you know, they push all these things through that fuck your life up. He is in your face fucking your life up. He don't care. So they don't want that, you know, because everything is appearance. So he's not down with the crew. He don't care. And then you got people on the outside who's getting affected. We're going to be affected whether Trump is in there or Biden is in there in terms of policy-wise, right? Mm-hmm. Now, granted, if you don't know what the hell you're doing and you picking people in your cabinet, see, your cabinet's supposed to be strong. Even if you're a moron, your cabinet shouldn't be. So we got a moron and then a moron cabinet, whereas we got the other side is, okay, I'm confident that they would pick good cabinets, but the plan is still the same. The agenda moves on. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about money. It's all about prisons. And it's about at the end of the day, the people who can't conform and fit into society will lose their 13th Amendment rights. You know, and don't, you know, that's just what it is. You know, I read this book. It was a children's book. You know, one of the books I read it first, then I put it up on the Two Grumpy Men website. And it was talking about America's black founders. You know, they always talk about the founding fathers. We always keep seeing the same four people, you know, Jefferson, Washington, whatever, you know, the same people. But there were black men that was founders. Nobody knows that. Mm-hmm. This shit should be common information. Because if you take a real good look at some of these photos and the pictures that they show you, or the Declaration of Independence, you know, they always show people get ready to go to the table to sign that shit. If you look in the background, you will see black people. Like, we're there. So if we're there and we was part of the founders of this country, so remember we had that conversation about the Constitution. When it was written, it didn't apply to the people. Well, yeah, it didn't apply to black people who were, one, enslaved because you were the chattel property. So no, it wasn't about you. But we always go back to everybody wasn't a slave. So the Constitution, when it was written, there were a lot of free black people. Some of the founders were black. So what does that say? The Constitution didn't apply to them? Of course it did. It just didn't apply to people who were classified as Negro or slaves or the Caucasian slaves, you know, who came from Europe. They was in bondage too. You don't see that in the history books. That has to change because the youth, they're going to discover all of this shit. There are people right now who are 12, 15 years old. They don't watch none of this bullshit on TV. They can't vote. Nobody gives a fuck about them. But they're digging into the history, and they're digging into their own backgrounds, and they're seeing where they come from. And they see how this country was, what it was built on, the principles. And they're seeing like, yo, damn, we have black founders. We never hear about them. Go out there and look, people. We got hey, but we got the book on the website. America's Black Founders. it's there. Like, and you know how much it costs, people? $3. Electronic book, twogrumpymen.com, America's Black Founders. I'm putting it out there because that's a children's book in essence. It's a as a matter of fact, I think I put it on the wrong website. I'm gonna put it on Two Grumpy Men. I don't even have that on Two Grumpy Men. I need to put that on there since we have a more of an adult audience. That book is on twogrumpykids.com. You know what I mean? That's on another website because that book is on twogrumpykids.com. But I'm gonna put it on Two Grumpy Men because some adults don't even know that we have black founders. So here I am trying to teach the babies everything. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to reach the babies, right? Yo, get it while you're young. You know what I mean? So, but the adults, a lot of them don't even know that we have black founders. Like, come on, bro. 2020 is the year of the awakening. Let's get it. Let's wake up. Like, I'm with you on the voting thing and all of that. I'm okay with that. I've been voting. But I vote in midterms.
Yeah.
Okay, so I try to sit back. I don't want to judge anybody, but I don't like the bashing that does go on, you know, kind of via social media. Like, you presume and assume that people don't vote, you know, or if I don't vote the way you do, then that's a problem. That's why people don't discuss politics and religion.
Yeah.
You can't, because how you going to tell somebody what their agenda is? Like, because a lot of people do vote on agendas. So if I'm a wealthy, or even if I'm a rich business, let's say I'm a business owner. Forget rich. Let's say I'm a business owner. I do want GOP policies, in theory, you know, in the foundation of it, because it's about capitalism. And you know, if you look at the Democratic policies, it's more about I don't want to say socialism, but that's what it's really about. But then when you dig into the history and you say, damn, the Democrats of today used to be the old slave owners, and the Republicans are it's like y'all just flip-flop. So the Democrats used to be the Republicans, and the Republicans used to be the Democrats, and they just flip places, and now shit is all mixed up. They make sure that they pass certain shit that's going to just restrict the movement, the progression of certain demographics, and that's what they do. And we all up in it. And you know what? We don't make up the majority of the population, right? I'm talking about black people. Maybe I don't know how many people we have totally, but statistics-wise, maybe 14, 15%. But if you took all of the people and put them together that are not of European descent, who are not Caucasian, then, yeah, obviously we outnumber the Caucasian, you know, because there's more minorities than there are Caucasians. But then when you look at history and you start looking at where everybody came from, then we all came from one place. The original man, you know, forget the nationality thing right now. The original man is black. That's all there is. Like, everything broke down from the black man. We birthed every demographic out here via mutation, migration, doing all of that. But that's hard for people to swallow, because when I told a Caucasian coworker, this is many years ago, I think I was I was teaching, and she was a teacher too, and she was young, we were about the same age, and I was like, yeah, I'm teaching the babies, I'm teaching them about history and, you know, where we come from, and, you know, there's only one race. And she looked at me kind of weird, and I was like, well, there's only one race, you do know that, you know, black people birthed you. You know, and she looked at me because, you know, we co-workers now. You know, come on, I'm 24, 25. I'm dropping. I'm like, you're a teacher. Like, I'm assuming that you know certain shit, right? But you don't. I didn't know that. But she looked at me kind of weird. And I was like, what? Like, Caucasian is a mutation. The genes mutated. Y'all came from the Caucasus Mountains. Like, y'all were born like 40,000 years after us. Like, you are us. Our people, yeah, you're me. Like, we're the same. You just a mutation gene. Your species was born later. They just separated that so they could, you know, manipulate the people. Her face, she looked like shocked. Like, she never heard that shit before. And I just fell back. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of black people ain't heard that shit before.
Well, then that's fucked up then, dog. You know?
They going by the story that's in the King James Bible. But that's a whole nother story, man.
Yeah, I don't knock religion either. You know what I mean? But as I was saying, it's like, here's my thing with the religion piece. You can't take out books and say we only going to read this book. The Old Testament and the New Testament, you combine them, and why don't you teach from that? Like, don't just come at me with some New Testament. Like, yo, I like the Torah. I like the Old Testament. I do. You know why? Because God in that book in the Old Testament fuck you up. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You know, shit like that. Like, you reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
That means walk in the light. Walk in a positive manner. So even before they even built the religious, before they wrote the Bible, the book, you know, you had the principles of Mayat, 42 principles. Yo, it's hard to live up to them principles, but it's something to strive for. Like, shit, there's 42 of them, brother. At my peak of existence, I think I got as many as 15. 15 out of 42. And, you know, so that tells you how people was like basically trying to live righteously and as royalty as you supposed to. But like you said, some people didn't even know. So imagine, I'm telling a Caucasian woman, teacher, young, you know, vibrant, you know, wants to teach, you know, works in the hood. And, you know, this is before Teach for America and all them programs, you know, came in where they was actually giving you an incentive to be there. Like, she was there. So... But I'm telling, like, damn, Mr. Groom said that? And you look it up, you're like, well, he ain't lying. But damn, you know, he said he came from me. My people came from him. You did. And I'm not mad at you, sister. I could call you sister, right? I think. We birthed y'all. So if we birthed y'all, we all one, then what the fuck is all the division about? If the people want certain things, get your ass to the polls, right, in midterms too. Get your ass to the midterms and vote out the Senate and the Congress that ain't doing shit in your community. If your community got fucked up resources in education, go to your congressman, go to your senator. You know, that's here in New York. Some people got even another layer. You know, they got aldermen. Like, you got people that's speaking on your behalf. So put your voice out there. Because you can't do it after the fact. The town hall meetings, they just sitting up there taking the rapid fire. They don't give a fuck. Because it's already done. So when enough people get mad, I guess everybody will push back. Maybe that book do need to go viral, but I don't want the smoke that comes with the political arena right now, because, yo, people are very emotional. And right now, I just, you know, I'm releasing the book. You know, it's for the youngs. You know, it's for us. But it's also to teach the young ones. But the people who been doing dirt all these years, if they read into that book, they be like, man, fuck Grooms. You know what? Fuck y'all. Because I'm trying to teach. Like, the grumpy man is out here teaching. There's a few podcasts. We out here really trying to do shit. You know, and as quiet as it's kept. You know, and I always joke about this with some, you know, with some people. I know my man, Jay Lloyd, he support us. You know, he got a jacket. You know, he rock with us. We always laugh and joke about people that take oaths. Like, you know what the deal is, but you took an oath not to say anything, right? That's fucked up, because you're gonna see the damage that's gonna be inflicted. But once you take the oath and you take the big checks, and, you know, like, all right, well, you're kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Insulated from a lot of bullshit because you have money. But you're always going to be a puppet. You're going to be bought and paid for. With us and a few others, we own ours. So I would rather do it this way and not have to take an oath to fuck over my people. You don't have to take an oath to fuck over your people. And we could just come together, you know, free of oaths, and just drop knowledge and, you know, let it be organic. It's good to have organic and be spiritual and not willingly just fucking over people. because that's what's going on out there. You know, Malcolm X told us that. Don't trust entertainers. And it's not a negative thing.
Trust
just
nobody.
Said it what it was. Trust nobody.
Trust
like,
nobody.
You want to go on your Bible, the Bible says trust no man. Why? Because we are faulty by nature. So imagine, we are considered good people. We considered good brothers. You got shiesty people out there, all right? You got evil people. You got people who are just maniacal. You got all levels and layers of bullshit that they don't give a fuck. They got to eat by any means necessary, survival of the fittest. You weak or you not? You got those. The lion eats the cub. If it came down to it, like, I don't want to live like that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a what's the word I'm looking for? I'm a preservationist. I want to preserve life. I don't want to be out here trying to survive. I don't want to survive. I want to preserve life. You know what I mean? There's a difference. Because you got to do a lot of shit when you're surviving. That survival of the fittest shit, like, yo, if I see you trying to shit on somebody and I know they're a good person, yeah, I'm going to step in. Like, yo, chill, what you doing? You have to do that. We wasn't built weak. Our parents wasn't weak. I'm talking about me and you now.
Yeah,
grumpy
yeah.
men, this is where we come from. We don't come from a weak gene of people. They just wasn't. They don't. They drop knowledge every fucking day. No matter what. We was getting hit in the head. And this is what we become. Like, there was no option for me. Like, I knew I was going to college. I knew that in the sixth grade. There was no option.
Yeah,
I still had to have a job, too. You're going to work and go to school.
You're going
to
work and go to school.
Yeah, if you want to play sports, you're going to do that shit after you work and go to school. And you're going to make sure your grades is good, or else you ain't playing shit. And you know what? It made me a better person. Fuck it. Take the lumps, you know, while you're young, and then when you get older, you're like, damn, you know what? That was the right thing for them to do. Because we had no clue of the layers on top of layers of shit that they had to deal with to protect us from it. Now we're seeing it because we're adults now.
And parents.
Absolutely. So that's all, you know, I don't know, man. There's a lot. We didn't even get into the other shit that's out here. You know, there was a shooting in Philadelphia. I heard that the kid has some mental
issues,
instability.
Yeah.
That I'm not sure about because that's a media narrative spin. So let's maybe he wasn't mental, but let's say the pressures of society and of life right now. Sometimes, what if a person just snapped? What if they wasn't?
Yeah.
What if they didn't have mental issues?
It's a whole lot,
you know. But there is a such thing as suicide by cop too. So if you have a knife and they telling you no, and you still charging, like, that means you're not thinking anymore. You're beyond, you can't, they're not going to stop you no matter what. So you don't care at that point. So mental illness is going to be on the rise. It's what's been out here, but it's going to be on the rise now because people are under pressure, man. Financial pressure, societal pressures. You got people that's fighting. Like mask people versus non-mask, people feeling like their constitutional rights are being violated because they're being forced to wear a mask. I mean, it's a whole bunch of stuff going. It's a lot going on, you know.
A lot going on,
man. It's a lot. So, we out here, two grumpy men. We out here, and we just ask that the people that rock with us, you continue to be there, support us. You know, you know, we here, man. You know, twogrumpymen.com. You know, I mean, damn, we on every platform. And you know what? It's us. We don't, you know, the sponsors that we do have, or they rock with us. And then, trust and believe, like, we have sponsored on other platforms. Like, we support them. They support us. We support them. I mean, but that's the only way that you can do it.
Yes,
yeah, sir. I mean, that's it. I don't know no other way. You know, you take a big check for somebody. If it ain't, you know, once you do that, well, hey, man, I gave you $50,000, man. I want you to pump my ad on there. You know, if you spent that bread, like, well, yo, I gave you $50,000. I want you to pump my ad.
Yes,
nah, I'm good, bro. I don't need your money. I'm good. Not if it's like that. But then, you know, hey, the flip side is you got to feed your family, right? So that's where the oath take is. So I laugh with Jay all the time about that, you know, because we laugh about, because there are people that actually do that. But
yes, sir.
That ain't us.
That ain't grumpy man style.
So you know, we out here. We ain't going nowhere. So
exactly, and we'll be back.
We'll be back. Go get the book. Tell a friend.
Cop the book. Push back.
TwoGrumpyMen.com.
That's what this was about tonight. Letting you know, we just pushing back. Cop the book. We out here once again. Congrats to my co-host. Not just my co-host, my brother. We've been rocking since '89. That's over 30 years together.
That's a long time.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, the story he telling you, I was there actually when these things was happening.
Word.
Teaching the shit.
Word. So, every weekend, like your son.
I understand. You know what I mean? I understand. So, trust me. The stories is real. Everything is authentic with us. It's a real deal. And once again, my brother, congratulations. And we're going to push the book, and we're going to celebrate. We're going to keep pushing Grumpy Men. And to everybody that support us, we appreciate y'all. Cop the merch, cop the books, get the knowledge. We here for everyone. You know what I'm saying?
Word.
Hit us up online, you know?
That's
no doubt. Exactly. Come get at us, man. We here. And we'll be back. And when we come back, we're going to have even more. We got more. We only touched the tip tonight. We're going to get into this. This was just a check-in. We're going to get back at y'all with some more.
That's some facts.
We're going to get into some other shit. We got more shit. And we'll be back soon with more interviews and more guests.
Yeah, people have been asking. They're great.
We're going to get back to that in a second.
We're going to have to do it after the election. That's so they can release their emotions. Let it out.
You know what I'm saying? We're going to get back with y'all, man. But on that note, brother, we're going to get up out of here.
We out of here. Two grumpy men. Peace.
Peace.